Broadcasting from AnyUpMagazine.com and 620 WDAE AM, the sports animal in Tampa Bay, Florida.
With your hosts, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's time to Ante Up. It's December 26th, 2008, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the planet, and it is our last show of 2008.
Yes. It's a monumental year in Antioch lore.
Very, very, very big year. And sad to see it come to an end.
No, maybe. Well, but optimistic for the next year.
Absolutely. Looking
happy
forward,
for the next
looking
year.
Ahead. Glad the Antioch Nation is joining us here. And, of course, New Year's right around the corner.
When one door closes, the other one opens.
That's right.
Or other ones open.
You know, and you would think that, you know, when you lose a poker hand, that door is shut. You lost the hand. It's over. But apparently another door opened up for our good friend Phil Hellmuth.
Yeah, you know, when I first saw the story, the first thing I jumped in my mind was our good friend Mike Fastel, when he was on the show not long ago, said, you know, a
real bad beat.
The only bad beat out there is when you have the best hand and you don't get paid. And this poor player who was playing heads up against Phil Hellmuth.
For lots and lots and lots of money.
Double baller. Had the best hand. And went to Phil Hellmuth.
Aren't we all double ballers at heart? I mean, really.
I don't know whether we really need to get it. Dr. Frank Toscano isn't on the show this week to explain all that to you. But
really, what turns out to be that Hellmuth thinks this kid's bluffing. Guy actually has three kings. Guy wins the pot, and the money gets pushed to Hellmuth's account.
Yeah, you know, and I got to say, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are just ready to fillet ultimate bet over this, and you know, I'm not going to stand in the way of that.
Right.
But I feel terrible for
Thank
these people now, because here's the thing, the whole pot ripper and all that was just dastardly,
right.
And there was a lot of blame to go around.
Right.
This, I mean, they still have no idea really what happened. It looks like it was a software.
Right, the transition to the serious software probably had something to do with it.
And I just can't imagine, there's no scenario in my mind where this is deliberate or there's some kind of...
Yeah, no.
You know, it doesn't excuse having bad software, obviously.
Yeah, it's not in Hellmuth's contract to to make enough money per year, or he has to get X amount of losing pots pushed his way. Obviously, this was some sort of glitch or something. But still,
so these guys are coming back. Coming back from these terrible scandals. Then they had the 60 Minutes thing, which we ripped apart, which we thought was unfair.
Yep.
And then you get something like this. You got to.
What do you got to do to really just get yourself over
Christmas
the hump?
There.
Oh, man. I'm sure Hellmuth felt terrible, you know, because
let's not go that far.
Well, no, but he's the face of this site, and to have him get a pot pushed to him, that's just, what a coincidence that is. That it has to be his hand.
Exactly. Can you imagine, and maybe, I mean, who knows, the software, obviously there's a glitch, it could have happened again, if that is indeed what happened here.
Right.
But, you know, if it happened to you and me playing heads up at the $5 table, no one's talking about this right now.
Yeah, no.
Or at least no one is believing it.
Well, you know that you and I would be like just going on the forums and writing it up, and then it would somehow circulate. But not with the magnitude of a Phil Hellmuth Jr. attached.
Exactly.
To,
and what I'm saying is, when I first, I think somebody posted on our forum is where I first learned about it on the Apes or on the Antioch forum.
Right.
And you know, and my knee jerk was, somebody made this up. Because it's so easy just to put a hand history on a forum somewhere, and I don't mean the person that put it on our forum.
No, you mean the
actual story. I
think
it probably
lifted
from somewhere else, and I really didn't put any stake in it until actually Ultimate Bet came out and explained, this really happened.
God,
so what I'm saying is, though, had it been two normal players playing at stakes far less than this, I think people probably would not have jumped into knowing more about it.
It's
just happened to be
unbelievable.
The face of the site.
God, when it rains, it pours. Well, you know, it's hard enough for them to come back from already being established and then being tainted. But how about a site that wants to establish itself? How hard is that to do this time of year and this kind of climate? Seems pretty tough. I can't wait for you to try to pronounce the name of this site. Go ahead.
Well, you do it. It's based off of some kind of Greek god or something like that. Zios?
Zosaz.
I'm going to say Zios.
There's no I in it. Z-O-S-O-Z.
Zoaz? Zosaz?
Zosaz.
Well, here's the thing. We don't need to know how to pronounce it because it doesn't exist anymore. All right?
That place came and went.
It came and went like in 2 weeks, it seems like.
I've seen an ad for it in like a magazine, and then that was it. It's gone. What did they attribute it to?
All right. Well, here's the thing. We're not dancing on the grave of poor folks that have the entrepreneurial spirit.
We could clearly be there exactly 2 weeks from now too,
And then fail. But this is the latest and the recent trend towards subscription poker sites that because of subscription laws and things like that. Or, sweepstakes laws. Are legal in the U.S. and like most of them, they price membership at $19.99, and it's an all-you-can-eat kind of thing. You play for as much as you want during the month for that monthly fee, and you win prizes and things like that. And it turns out this one just didn't have the financial backing that it should have.
Okay, that's basically all it was. It just didn't have enough money.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Apparently, it was named after the pagan goddess of good fortune.
Wow,
which is interesting. Pagan and good fortune. Kind of like hedging your bets, isn't it?
Oh, man. Well, from Greece to Russia with love. It's funny, too, that the Russians agree with me. I never thought that would happen. But apparently, Russia is calling poker a sport.
Yeah, we love to come back to this well a lot.
Jim Rome.
A lot of low hanging fruit here.
Jim Rome.
On the whole poker is sports tree. But no, Russia is, according to the story that we got from Gambling 911, has officially declared poker a sport.
Will they try to enter professionals into the Olympics?
But they have to be a certain age.
Oh, a certain age.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe. it's not a very deep story, but obviously they're doing some kind of a reorganization in Russia and deciding where casinos can be, so they're in a particular zone or region.
Right.
Apparently poker is safe there, and it's a good thing because there's so many good Russian poker players on the tour now.
Right, they are just coming out of the woodwork. It's amazing how many are so successful now. Alex Krychenko and Ivan Demidov, and they're just everywhere now. That Kirill Gersmanov guy or whatever. I don't know. There's a lot of them.
The Zayas, bacon goddess of good fortune. Yes.
Did you say bacon? Do I smell bacon? the other thing I like about the end of the year is all of the new poker shows are being taped, and you're starting to get the announcements of what's going to be on TV and when and where and who's going to be on the shows and things like that.
Yes, further proof that poker is indeed a sport.
It's on ESPN Classic.
Not only is it on ESPN, not only on the Deuce, and sure to be coming to the Ocho at some point.
The Ocho.
It is on ESPN Classic now.
So would you only play split pot games on the Ocho?
That's true.
Eight or better.
Yeah. See, you're on to something.
I'm on to something. But ESPN Classic is going to air the European Cash Game Show. That's pretty cool. I always like watching cash games because, they're my game of choice, I guess, is my preference. And just when you're thinking about how much money is on the table and stuff. But what are the details of this?
It's called the Poker Heaven European Cash Game, and episode one premieres at 11:20 p.m. on Thursday, January 8th.
That's a weird time slot.
Well, maybe they have some kind of Don Orson's Perfect Game or something airing beforehand, and
followed by the episode of when Evander Holyfield has his ears chewed off at 11:45 by Mike Tyson. That's a weird time slot, 11:20.
So I guess there's going to be seven of them. It's going to air through mid-February, and it's an invitation-only event featuring the most established and up-and-coming cash game players in the world, including our new world champion, Peter Eastgate.
Yeah, he's making the rounds. He also is going to be playing in the high-stakes poker this season, which is going to air March 1st. They're going to begin showing those episodes March 1st on GSN, so that's pretty cool. They announced their roster of players as well. But speaking of ESPN, they're also going to show the World Series of Poker Europe main event, the one that Dan Negreanu and John Juanda won it, but they all made the final table, and that's going to be cool, too. That starts February 1st, and it'll be the 1st, the 8th, the 15th, and also March 1st, and there'll be 2-hour-long episodes, just like the regular main event, in World Series coverages during the regular one here in America. And the episodes will start at 10 o'clock Eastern time. So ESPN's all over the poker, man.
Yeah, Europe is the new frontier of poker.
Absolutely.
And, I was talking to somebody the other day and telling him about the reach of our podcast, and he's like, Europe, really? And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, it's because that's the big growth now. All those players are learning how to play and playing very well over there.
It's not just Omaha anymore over there. They're aggressive too. All the interviews that we've been doing recently with people who've played over there, and going up against some of them in the World Series, they all say that these guys really want to outplay you after the flop. And, you know, I think Chino Ream said that the California players are tougher, but the European players are wilder. So, yeah, they're coming up, and they're kicking some butt.
All right, so Russia says that poker is a sport, apparently.
Yep.
ESPN Classic says it's a sport.
Yep.
And now comes news that a legitimate sport...
Are you saying poker's not legitimate?
No, I'm just saying, you know...
One that's widely accepted as a sport?
All right, let's say that. Okay. Widely accepted sport is trying to maneuver through the world of poker and what it means for them.
I assume you're talking about hockey.
I am.
Because you see hockey? Matt Sundin on there.
Hey, and... good. I was glad you pronounced his name because I was going to have...
Yeah, it's Sundin.
Yeah. We don't get a lot of hockey down here in Florida, I mean, even though we have a team.
You're from Ohio.
We didn't have any hockey there.
I know, but there's snow.
Yeah.
No, it's Matt Sundin.
All right, so Matt Sundin. Apparently, he's got kind of a loose contract with PokerStars.net. That's very key to this story.
That is very key.
I don't necessarily think that he plays on there, but he is a so-called celebrity supporter of PokerStars.net.
Net.
Okay. So, you know, apparently now the NHL is slowly kind of looking into whether this agreement that he has with PokerStars.net is in any violation of any kind of league rules that kind of frown on gambling.
I mean, everybody out there gambles in the sports world. I mean, they all do. They just don't gamble on their own sport.
Yeah, and then part of this is said that apparently... hockey officials aren't even allowed to walk into a casino where sports betting is taking place.
That's different than just playing poker.
Well, exactly. But
how many times have you seen Alex Rodriguez playing poker?
That's very true. So here's the thing. There's a Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly sent an email to, this was a story in the London Free Press, and he said that they're still looking into and trying to figure out the nature of the relationship before they have an official position. But right now, it appears that it is consistent with being all right.
Yeah,
because it's one, it does not accept wagers, and two, they don't have any sports betting component on the site.
Absolutely.
It's completely different if he was on a site that offered sports betting.
We talked about this years and years ago when we first started the show about what the difference is between Net and Com, where Com was where they offered wagering and Net was where they weren't. And that's why they can advertise on TV with .net because they don't allow gambling with .com. So that's why you always see that. When they're wearing their logos, it always says .net. When they're doing the commercials, it always says .net. That's to suck in.
Yeah.
And then once you're there, oh, by the way, there's .com.
But, you know, it's a legitimate way of getting around it. You can go to PokerStars.net. You don't have to give them any kind of credit card information. You don't have to play for any money. You can play for fun all you want.
Yep, absolutely.
And then, of course, it's a gateway into the other side if you so choose to
it's a path to the dark
jump
side.
On that train. But you don't have to. There's no requirement to.
Mats, come over to the dark side.
But, you know, even if it was PokerStars.com, I would hope that this debate wouldn't get any farther than it.
Yeah,
than
I agree, because what's wrong with it, really?
It's just playing poker. It's, you know.
Yep. It's not like he's going to allow a goal because he got sucked out on. And, you know what I mean? And, I mean, it just makes no sense. There's nothing he's doing that can be construed as is wrong.
But I wonder if the hockey players... could have some kind of affiliations with brick-and-mortar casinos, and maybe ones that do not allow sports betting.
Yeah,
so, for example, like an Atlantic City or a Tunica or, you know, not a Vegas one.
Right, with no sports book. Then there's still no problem because they're just games of chance, you know. It's not like you're placing a bet on your team or your league or, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess they're looking for this sort of, you know, they have this image they want to uphold, but I don't think that, you know, playing poker is something that is... that negative that's going to bring down the National Hockey League, you know? Well, speaking of teams.
Yeah, we have a very sports-filled, themed show here on the day after Christmas, right?
Yeah, well, because, you know, that's when everyone's watching the bowl games and the playoffs for NFL, and everything is coming together nicely. So,
I'm going to set this up because you were the one that actually did the quick research to give our very good listener an answer.
Yep.
A listener, Matt Moody, sent us an email. He said he found this ad on Craigslist, which I think at the same time that You cringed, I cringe.
Yep.
I love Craigslist. Sold my truck on there in 3 hours. but there's some things that I probably would not be going to Craigslist to buy.
Yeah, not this.
But anyhow, he said he settled on an ad for a professional poker team, Chris.
Mm.
So he emailed to find out more, and this says the company's called World Poker Marketing, and they have a P.O. Box address, and he did a Google search, nothing came up. But apparently the offer was for folks to send them $65 to create a player profile, and then, you know, Animal House style, they probably sit in the room with their picture on a screen and throw a beer at it and decide who they want to accept and who they don't, right?
Exactly.
And then apparently they're going to put this this new team together in Vegas to play a tournament. And so anyhow, he was his little warning radar went off a little bit, didn't think that this was completely on the up and up, and wanted some advice. And yeah. You were willing to help him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I did tell him a little caveat. I said, you know, I don't want to be responsible for anything I say to you as far as, I mean, you're asking, so I'm telling you what I'm going to do. So I typed in World Poker Marketing on Google, and the first entry that came up, and it came up like literally the day before he sent me this email, so clearly this was on there. Someone had written, and this was on Craigslist, by the way, World Poker Marketing is a scam. I hope that no one is naive enough to fall for this bull. Never send anyone you haven't researched money via, and then it went dot, dot, dot. Yeah. So I clicked on it, wanting to read the rest of it, and immediately the Craigslist page came up that said, this post is under investigation, and you can't link to it, or you can't go to it, or whatever. Yeah, so gotcha. I said, right there alone, you know, if they've said it's subject to removal, that right there should tell you that, you know, one, this something is wrong, whether it's the guy, you know, complaining about it is wrong, or that the actual, you know, post on Craigslist was something that was underhanded or shady.
Or there were a number of people that were inquiring about
exactly.
It.
Exactly. So that means that, you know, I don't know. I'm very cautious of anyone asking me for money who don't know me. You don't know me, I'm not giving you money. You know? I mean, okay, so the, you know, the
government. It makes it tough for the BMV when you get your.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the government says you need some money
to register
your car.
That's why I have no license plates on your car.
That's one thing.
I don't know you.
I don't know you. I'm not giving you any cash. Sir, would you like to buy in? What's your name? Because if I don't know you, I'm not giving you any money for this tournament, you know? But no, really. I'm glad he came to us first so we could do a little research for him and just give him our opinion. And I think once he heard from me and did a little research again on his own, he was like, yeah, I better steer clear of this. Now, it's not to say that it wasn't legitimate.
Yeah, exactly. And here's my question, too. If it was legitimate, and they very well could be, let's say there was a big name behind it that would make you feel a little better about this. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, World Poker Tour or Harrah's.
Yeah, or even a poker champion who's tied to it somehow.
Exactly,
something
like that. Would this be something that you would be interested in doing, giving them, you know, essentially an application fee? It's just like, you know, if you want to go to law school, you can't apply for free. You got to give them some goods for their time and effort of reviewing your application, and then with no promise of actually getting anything out of it.
Well, I mean, yeah, if it was proven to be a legitimate operation and something that I am interested in, yeah, I can see, you know, giving somebody an assessment fee. You know, to see if I'm, you know, if I qualify, because somebody has to, you know, somebody has to actually physically do all this work, and they're going to have to weed through thousands of thousands. So it's like a management fee. So sure, I think that that's something that I would, if I was interested in and I knew it was legitimate, I wouldn't mind paying somebody some money to analyze my game and say, okay, I think you're good enough to join our team. Now here's your potential. It's almost like playing in a tournament in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
Except without actually playing the tournament. There's somebody evaluating your play rather than you doing it yourself with the chips. So you're paying a $65 entry fee, and oh, by the way, you went out in the bubble this time, you know, or next time you cashed and you've made the team, and now you're on a free roll because you're on the team and you're playing for all this money for nothing. So I like the idea. I don't like the idea of doing it on Craigslist. If it was legitimate, why are they on Craigslist? Why don't they have their own website, their own way of doing PR or spreading the word? So I don't like that at all. But yeah, I think as a legitimate business practice, I wouldn't mind giving somebody some money to analyze my play and to give me the potential of joining their team. You know, when you're in the minor leagues in baseball and you want to join a team, you got to, a lot of those teams, you know, the smaller leagues, you got to pay for your uniforms and things like that.
Yep,
or, you know, you got to pay for the train or the bus or the airfare to get there to try out for the team. So it's kind of the same kind of thing. It's just that I don't like the whole leaving it up to someone to tell me whether or not I'm good enough to join their team. You know, it's kind of weird.
The whole schoolyard pick.
Yeah, exactly. You know, give me the girl with the pigtails over the kid who's, you know, 3 feet tall. You know, I don't know. It's just, it's kind of weird doing that. But yeah, I would try to steer clear of stuff on Craigslist for you know, taking your money that way.
Exactly. Now we have one quick clarification from a recent show.
Yeah, and the person's name is David Williams, and at first I got all excited. I thought, oh my God, it's the bling bling guy, you know.
And then you realize it's just a normal listener, right?
Yeah, just regular David Williams, you know.
Yeah, way to boost our membership here, Chris. Thanks.
No, but I mean, it was like he didn't even like say, "Hey, by the way, I'm not the David Williams or something."
Well, just, maybe he is.
So maybe it is. I don't know. And it is from Texas, which David Williams is from there. So if it's him, I'm gonna freak. But I don't think it is. Anyway, he said he just listened to the podcast that we had with Hoyt Corkin's interview, and he wanted to correct something. He said there is actually one poker room / casino in Texas. It's the Kickapoo.
Excellent. Very nice.
The Kickapoo Lucky Eagle Casino in Eagle Pass, Texas. And now, it's on the Texas-Mexico border.
Eagle Pass, not Eagles Pass. So there's only one eagle allowed to pass through the
only
city.
Only one eagle is allowed to go through.
I mean,
at
there's
time.
A lot of eagles left out there.
No, that's true, too. But it's on the Tex-Mex border, and he says, I'm not sure how they get around the state laws. Maybe
on the other side of Chili's, but downstream from Tia's.
Run for the border, Taco Bell and poker, all in one wonderful package. No, but it's on an Indian reservation, so that clearly is probably the reason why they're allowed to have poker. But I think that's what we were talking about. There's no state poker in Texas where, you know, just regular paramutuals or card rooms or whatever are running, you know, are being run at, you know, I mean, all, even our Indian casinos here, they don't really abide by state laws or they don't have to.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean? It's complicated.
Yeah.
But
you know what
I
mean?
So, yeah, I mean, there are a list of regulations, but a little more free.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's probably what's happening here, but thanks for letting us know. And, so now when we do, get over there to the big state there, we'll look for that place to play.
Yeah, you know, and we're setting a pretty dangerous precedent here because a clarification segment on the show is going to push us easily into the two-hour.
I know.
just on pronunciations.
No more corrections, please. Just grin and bear it. Oh, God. Chris said that the World Series started in 1912. That's okay. Let me get away with it because, you know, we don't have enough time to correct everything we screw up.
But, you know, there's one way to tell us about a clarification and get some swag out of it.
Yes. Eeyore. The Donkey Gear Hotline. 813-448-1120. You call that line and leave a message, and we use it on the show. We'll send you some cool stuff from donkeygear.net. So this call comes from James, from Oz, which obviously means Australia.
Australia, yes.
Australia. And he's got some tough times down there with some pretty incredible buy-in / rake amounts. Let's hear what he has to say.
G'day, Chris and Scott. This is James from Sydney, Australia. I'm just going to tell you guys that I love the podcast. Been listening to it for a few years now. Listen to every show, and I love it since you've taken over, started up your magazine. Hope everything's going really well with that for you guys. I was at my local casino last week, and we've got an $80 min-max buy-in for a 1-2 no-limit game. And with a $5 time charge and a rake of 10% per pot, you don't really get many hands before you have to go all in. Also, when you buy in there, there's usually a few stacks over $500 sitting at the table there, so you're always up against a bigger stack, you know, from the moment you sit down. So I was just wondering what it's like for you guys over in Florida and across the rest of the US with your buy-ins there, and I suppose you guys with tipping as well would have to factor that in. But it seems like over here it's kind of hard to make money at that level. Unless you're willing to lose a few buy-ins. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Anyway, keep up the great work. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right, Chris. So let me make sure I got the math right here. There is a 10% rake. All right, that's pretty standard here in Florida. Actually, it's probably high.
Yeah.
But here in Florida, it's pretty standard. I mean, 10% up to
50. A number. Right.
Exactly. And, he didn't say that, so maybe it is. I hope so.
I hope it's 10% up to like $5 or whatever. But.
And then on top of that, you've got a $5 time charge. Now, he didn't say whether it was an hour or a half hour. It's generally a half hour.
Generally
here,
half an hour, $5.
But it could be an hour. But regardless,
yes.
I don't think I've ever sat in a game. Actually, I know I've never sat in a game that's had both a rake and a time charge.
Wow.
And then, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's an $80 min max is what he said. So this is what happened. This is what we used to rail on the show here when the No Limit actually made it here to Florida and they did a time charge in local rooms that you'd sit down for the $100 because that's the maximum you could buy in.
Right.
And immediately you're giving $5 to the dealer for your time charge.
You're already down to 9.5.
So now you're down to 9.5. So here in this game, you go from 80 to 75 just sitting down. Jeez. Plus, when you win, and hopefully you do win, then you're losing some money out of the rake. And if you don't win, then money's going off the table to the rake and the time charge.
And the time charge. Plus, you know, if you're not like Chris Cosenza, you're tipping waitresses.
Yes.
You're tipping dealers. There's money going to a jackpot, likely, or a bad beat thing. All right, so I guess he's asking, you know, how do you beat it? How do you beat the game?
Yeah, I think maybe he's just probably looking for some misery loves company here because that's just brutal. Because I got to think that that's the way you have to play there. I mean, I can't imagine there are choices that aren't as smothering as that, and our good friend James Ramaz is actually choosing to play this style.
So it's kind of like a coin flip, really. You know, you're going there, you're like, okay, I hope I hit heads and double up early, so I have a decent stack to combat all of these incredible charges that are going against me just to play poker.
Well, it's very similar, I guess, to the 5-10 game here in Florida that we've kind of
And he also mentions that in saying, do you just go in and know you're going to lose a few buy-ins before you can build a stack, or... And that could very well be what you have to do, you know. Yeah. You go to, even though it's an $80 buy-in, you say to yourself, well, I'm going to bring a $420 bankroll today and have, like, you know, or whatever, however much you want, and I'm going to buy in three or four times, and that's how it goes. So, but yeah, it's definitely a crapshoot, it seems like, down in Australia, at least at his room.
And it's really interesting with a time chart throwing in there, too. I mean, you got to, I don't know how you...
How do they justify it? That's the thing. Well, I was gonna say, what do you say?
But I mean, as a player, you got to figure at some point, you know, when you start with 80, actually you start with 75, and you know, you're losing rake, and so you could be bleeding. Your stack is going to get depleted pretty quickly. You got to figure out when you want to make a stand, because you can't just let it bleed all the way down.
No,
right?
There's no way.
And with a time charge coming, that almost accelerates. So I got to think it's probably a pretty loose game.
Yeah, it has to be a loose
game. At least until you fish everybody out and everybody's got a pretty decent stack at the table.
Yeah, it has to be a loose game in the beginning, at least. It's really sad that they take the play out. And then, again, how do you go to that casino and talk to the floor manager, the poker room manager, and what do they say to you to, you know, justify charging you twice? It's like, okay, I want to buy this soda. Okay, that'll be $1.05. Okay, that'll be $1.05. What?
You know, so like that Southwest commercial.
Yeah, exactly. When the lady turns around and exactly. You know, she's like, oh, that'll just be $75. And when she turns around, she's got this evil face on the back of her head. She's like, plus 15 for each bag that you're checking. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know? It's kinda like, you know what, it's kinda like the sewer system here too in Florida. You know, you get your water bill, and they charge you for sewer, and they charge you for water. But they're charging you for sewer for all the water you use, but all your water is not going into the sewer.
Sewer, yeah.
So they're charging you twice, and it's just like this. They're charging you for a rake, and they're charging you for a time.
Double dipping.
Double dip.
Yeah.
That is not right.
Hmm.
It's like George Costanza at a party.
All right, James, well, we thank you for calling the DonkeyGear.net hotline, and for your trouble, you're getting this week's shirt. A little edgy. Donkey Gear goes, they make shirts for everybody.
Good luck with this one,
Push
Scott.
It out to the edge here. And this shirt going all the way across the other pond. And I can't wait to fill out the customs form on this one. FCUK, the F-bomb rule.
That's what the shirt says.
Yes, yes it does. And it's great. A kind of a cool little logo kind of thing, kind of that it's an edgy looking thing. So you know, here's what I could suggest to James is take that shirt into his local casino.
Yeah.
And when he complains about the game, as he should, he could probably tape over part of it.
I was thinking the same thing.
The FCUK, the
double dip.
Yes, exactly.
The double dip. And do us a favor, too. Anybody getting these shirts from us, why don't you send us a picture of you wearing it, and we'll put it in the magazine, or we'll put it on the blog or in the forum. Just give you guys a little exposure for your proud achievement of actually making our show.
Yes, very good. And once again, donkeygear.net. offers poker weird geared towards those who like to be the donkey or those trying to call out the donkey. But Chris, again, it's more than funny t-shirts. There are hats, poker chips, tables, dealer buttons, cards, books, and other accessories. Check it all out at donkeygear.net.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another one-minute mystery, the case of the snapping turtle. It's the middle stages of a big field, no limit hold'em multi-table tournament. The blinds are 250, 500 with a 50 ante, and we have a stack size of 11K on the button, just a little bit above average. It folds around to us on the button, and I look down at 10 spades, 10 of hearts.
I don't think you can pass this opportunity by.
Now, I was going to raise here no matter what cards I had, but after looking at the 10-10, I decide to stick with a 3x big blind as opposed to a 2.5x big blind, and I pop it up to 1,500. The small blind calls the 1,250 more, and the small blind is the big stack at the table with over 28K in chips. The big blind wisely folds. Now we see a flop heads up with a pot of 3,500 of 8 of spades, 8 of diamonds, 7 of spades. The small blind checks. I'm going to c-bet here a majority of the time anyways, but here is a particularly good board for it.
Better to stick with what you know. The familiar.
I bet 2,500 into 3,500 pot, and the small blind just check-raised me all in.
Wow, that is an impressive club, sir.
What do you make of this, and what do you do?
You know, on the drive over here today, we saw a turtle.
We did see a turtle.
And I don't believe he was snapping at the time, but I'm guessing by now he is, because he was trying to crawl up a big curb.
He was doing his Tom Cruise Mission Impossible imitation, trying to climb rock climb this curb that was clearly too tall for him.
And I'm sure he was probably mounting FC UK this curb, because I just no way I can get on a turtle, right?
All right, so you know me, I like to take the title and think about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And snapping
turtle.
I think
he's getting snapped off here.
Snapped off.
And the question is whether he's getting snapped off by a bluff or not.
But wait, here's the other thing. How do turtles move?
Very slowly.
Slowly. Slow playing trips, checking, then maybe, you know, I have no idea. I could be wrong, and I usually am. But maybe he was slow playing his trips to trap you and then snapped off your bet with an all-in push, and that's why the title is that way.
Okay, but here's the thing.
If
he had trips, he'd have a boat here because it's 8-8-7 on the board, and I can't imagine.
He wouldn't have a boat. He'd have to have 7-8 in his hand to have a boat. He could just have an 8 in his hand.
Okay, I see.
That's what I'm saying.
I see what you're getting.
So he's slow playing his trips.
Gotcha.
He's slow playing just trips because he doesn't want you to, you know, have a free look at 7, 8, 9, 10.
Right, for the
not a free look, but you know what I'm saying.
Straight. Okay.
Right. So I'm saying
that's a legitimate hand. So I guess what I'm saying is, so it's not a monster, because a monster would not check raise.
Right. I don't think it's a monster, but a lot of people play trips that way. You know, they check, hope, cause they know you're going to bet because you were the aggressor, and then they'll get some more money out of you by shoving all in because they don't want you to get a free look at the next card. Not a free look, but a look that you've dictated by the amount you bet. So,
right.
I don't know. I'm just guessing. I'm spitballing.
People know that you can run me over because, you know, our good columnist, our nothing but net columnist, John Lanier, he was in a tournament with me, and he made some moves on me and then proudly told the table, hey, I know how he plays because I listened to the podcast. So those folks would know that this would be an easy fold for me.
Yeah.
I don't like to. Why risk your tournament on top pair? An overpair, I mean.
One pair. I mean, you have two pair, but not really. You know what I mean? I hate when people say, I have two pair, and it always throws you off because there's a pair on the board. Everybody has that pair. You know, I hate that.
There very likely is a case that he's bluffing here, but he's got the big stack, and that's the power of having a big stack, because you can do this and make people make mistakes.
Yep.
I'll wait for a better spot.
Okay,
me too. But I always wait until the bubble.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to wait for a better spot just because I've been really patient.
Become a well-rounded rounder. Register today for the Any Up Horse Course coming to Sarasota Kennel Club on Saturday, January 31st. For just $249, get winning strategies for Raz, Omaha 8, Stud, and Stud 8, plus an $85 tournament voucher, lunch, a gift bag, and much, much more. Register today at AnnieUpMagazine.com, and we'll teach you how to win in Sarasota.
The new and improved Annie Up store is now open, just in time for all those holiday wish lists. With markups just 10% above Cafe Press's base prices, stock up today on Annie Up shirts, hats, gifts, and more, and all of Annie Up's logos. Go to AnnieUpMagazine.com, click on Shop tab, and order today. Send us a photo of you wearing the Annie Up colors, and you just might find yourself in Annie Up Magazine.
Well, we saved the best for last, and at least for me, it was the best.
Yeah, you were playing out of your ASS.
Hey, FC UK, you.
Yeah, because the main event of Apes was last week, and
I was really looking forward to it, and I was really looking forward to trying to get off the schneid, and I did, in bold fashion, I might add, by knocking you out of the tournament.
Yeah, and
Bounty!
I have got a couple things to say here. One, at the first break, we chatted a little bit, uh-huh. and I was swinging a big stack at that point.
Yeah.
And actually, no. I mean, it really was. You don't believe this.
It wasn't.
But it was a 500-chip difference, and there are several players that can attest to this.
Well, you may have
made it last longer.
You may have come to that conclusion.
Egged on by one of our listeners.
You may have come to that conclusion and then said, okay, let me go message him. But when you said it to me, I either lost a hand or you had won a hand because I said, it lasts longer, let me check. I went and checked the board, and you had like 5,000, and I had like 2,900. And I was like, oh, real brave of you to offer a last longer bet with me when you have 2-to-1 chip lead on me. And then you're like, no, even ask. And who was it that brought it up? Was it Burns My Toast?
Burns My Toast, yeah.
Oh, yeah, ask Burns My Toast. He'll concur that.
The dialogue in our chat room was, hey, it's only a 500 chip difference. You got to do it now if you're going
to
do it.
Let me ask you a question. How many last longer bets have I lost to you or Faso?
So
would I have
that's why I'm surprised that you didn't want the easy money
exactly,
this time.
Because you clearly had more chips than me. And you know what I'm saying?
And then the second thing I want to say is you were hitting the sauce a little bit. And for a teetotaler, that was a little worrisome.
I was not drunk.
And it certainly seemed that way, even though you weren't, because I was having great conversations with our listeners, as we always do, and you were putting crazy talk into the table when we were at the table together, and I couldn't understand what your problem was. And thank God you finally realized that you had turned your observer chat off, you little egotistical maniac that doesn't want to hear the other chatter.
No.
So it had to be very, very weird for you to see everybody's talk when we had all these people in the room, observers chatting with us, and all this crazy stuff coming out.
What I have to say is I'm very sorry if anyone was chatting with me and I was ignoring them. I can imagine like half the internet nation saying, what a jerk. He's not even, what does he think he is? You know, I had no idea my observer chat was off. And I thought our table was kind of quiet. You know, I thought, why is it so quiet today? But, you know, I forget that you can turn off the observer chat individually. I thought either chat was off or chat was on. I hadn't been so long since I turned it off. That you know, you were there. So I've played cash games with guys like for months, and I've had my chat off.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
They're all sitting there, and they think I'm not talking to them. But actually, they may be talking to me, and I'm not saying anything. They're probably saying, oh, man, he must really hate when we're playing with him or something. What the hell's going on? So, yeah, and you're writing messages to, like, El Snarf Grand. And I'm like, Scott, who are you talking to? He's not even at the table.
And you were being nasty about it, trying to be like, hey, idiot, you're chatting the wrong table. Yeah, so that was worth me going out to you when you sucked that on me.
Hey,
and
you know
then
what?
To watch you take my chips and make good money out of it.
Nut low draw, and I had trip aces, and you had trip aces with a better kicker, but I still had the low draw. So, I mean, it wasn't like I had a way more powerful hand than you, and then just happened to turn a boat.
Yeah,
but
okay. Right,
you were drawing thin against me
night,
anyway.
Yeah.
Now you know you were gone. That was awesome too. When I raised and you, I was like, oh man, I'm gonna knock him out. That was the greatest thing. That's the first time I ever knocked any of you guys out.
Yeah, that's
true. Have you knocked me out? I think you've knocked me out. Haven't you?
I think I might have. I can't remember.
Or
but
it close,
sounds like it.
But
like
yeah,
that.
But that was the first time I ever knocked anybody out from the Antia brass, and it felt so good. It even felt better than finishing fifth in the tournament, which I did. I was very excited about that. I made the final table and. Actually, our champion, Schoon, was it 157, I guess? Schoon?
Sure, that
Someone,
works.
I don't know. But Schoon and I have played together live as well. He's come down to Florida, and I hooked up with him down at Sarasota, and we've played together and had a good time. And he's a great guy. He's always done well in Apes, and I was happy to see him and Tom Turley make the final two.
Two long-time listeners?
Turley, Schoon and I played together the whole tournament. The entire tournament, and he actually called in, left a clip. So let's hear the clip, and then we'll talk a little bit more about how things went down.
Hey guys, it's Chicago Mike, also known as Schoon 157 on Full Tilt, calling in as your new Apes main event horse double stack champion. Big tip of the banana to Tom Turley for a hell of a heads up match. I think we were over 40 plus minutes, and probably if Scott hadn't dozed off, he could have brokered a chop for us. But alas, we had to play on. It was nice to have Chris at my table the whole time from the beginning, and I think there was a wild round of stud high where Chris went runner, runner, runner to double up and build his stack, and I went consecutive hands of boat over boat in stud high to really get both Chris and I to the final table. So looking forward to the banana. Happy New Year to you both, and can't wait for Apes 4. Take care, guys.
And you know, this had to be an epic battle because, yeah. You know, I got booted out like 39th, I think. And then I think the next three people to go out took 4 to 5 days, I think. and I had a no alcohol rule in effect for this particular tournament. So,
see how well it did for you, too.
So, yeah, exactly. That was the problem I had. But I eventually started getting pretty sweepy.
Yeah,
and I was hanging in there. I was fighting and kicking, and I got down to heads up, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to make it. And then my next memory is waking up and seeing that the tournament had concluded probably several hours before.
Well,
so it was a long heads-up battle.
Yeah, like he said, it was. And I actually kept their tournament in the corner of my screen and played cash games for a little while waiting for it to end. And it was remarkable. You know, somebody had 150, another guy had 50, and then all of a sudden it was like somebody had 103, and the other guy.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like it would take one hand really back and forth. But Schoon really he wore him down, wore Turley down. And Turley was incredibly aggressive, and I had the best hand going in against him when I got knocked out by him, and when I got crippled by him, I should say. I had pocket fives, and he raised with junk, and I knew he was raising with junk because he had a huge stack, and it was limit hold'em, and I three bet it with pocket fives, knowing that he didn't have a pair. He just called, and I'm pretty sure he had jack seven, and the flop came like 8-9-10. And so he checks. I bet out. He just calls. And then a turn was like a six or something. And anyway, it made a straight on the board. And by the end, it was like 6-7-8-9-10. And he bets out. And I'm like, you know, you're just trying to steal a pot. And then I'm like, if you have a jack, I'm going to be so mad. Because what jack do you have in your hand that you... So sure enough, he had a jack seven. And he had the better straight than what was on the board. And that crippled me. Ended up going all in with like 4-3 suited, and he had pocket nines and knocked me out. At the end of the year, when Apes comes to a close, it's always sad because, you know, another tournament's over, but it's also a good thing because we get to announce our player of the year.
That's right.
And this year, Zerkaboid, a.k.a. Nick Nickish, he just basically he ran away with it. It wasn't very suspenseful.
Wire to wire.
Yeah, wire to wire. So, Nick, are you there?
Yeah, hey guys, I'm sorry I couldn't make it more suspenseful for you this year.
Well, thanks for joining us, and it was really awesome to watch you. Just, you basically cashed in 7 out of the 12 events and put it all together. What do you think the reason was behind your success this year? What was the difference?
Well, the difference is when I'm playing in Apes, I know I'm playing against people who know what they're doing. So I get really patient with my play and pay real close attention when I'm playing against a normal donks on Full Tilt. it's all like a lottery.
Tell us a little bit about what kind of games you like to play. I mean, obviously you cashed in the horse main event last week and you won the limit hold'em. Do you like to play all the different games?
I do. I enjoy horse the most just because of the variety, but this year actually almost all of the events I cashed in were hold'em or Omaha variety of games, so I'm definitely better at that type than stud, but I do enjoy horse.
So you consider yourself sort of a hold'em specialist?
I'd say so.
Yeah. So way back in January, you won our first banana of the year in limit hold'em. You know, what's it like to have that plastic piece of produce sitting on your mantle?
Oh, it's great. It's kind of outshines everything else I got. And, you know, it's right there in the middle.
And you know, we have cameras like in your house, so we knew it was on the mantle.
Oh yeah, but you know, I got the Player of the Year trophy coming to put right next to it. So.
Yeah, that's right. Scott still has to make that.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out.
With the new regime now, we're not exactly sure what that trophy is going
to
be like.
It will be very unique.
Can't wait to see it.
We will know that it will be very unique.
It might have the gorilla giving you the finger or something. We're not really sure.
So, are you going to spend the off season, which hopefully is not a very long off season? Boning up on your stud game so you can become win all 12 next year?
Yeah, I might have to spend the couple weeks of the holiday here really boning up on Raz and stud so I can have another run at this next year.
Hey, did I tell you that I cashed in the horse event, by the way, and Scott didn't, and I knocked him out? Did you hear about that?
I heard about that, actually, yeah.
It's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah.
He was dropping F-bombs left and right after that, man. He was not happy.
Man.
Told me I had to suck out to beat him, and oh, it was so thrilling.
Yeah.
Sore loser.
Yeah. Hey, so let me ask you this. We tend to ask this a lot of our players of the year. What exactly does Zerkaboid mean? Where'd that come from?
Oh, that's it's completely made up.
Completely, you have no idea what it means.
You sure it's not a Muppet?
Years, probably over 10 years ago, when I had to make up an email address to just made up a word.
That is hilarious,
and it stuck with me ever since. So.
Oh my God, that's hilarious!
So, does anybody else call you Zerka Boy when you're walking down the hallway at work? Do they go, "Hey, Zerk, how's it going?" Or
is it strictly yet, but you know, after this, who knows? Because they're popping up everywhere.
Tell us where'd you learn to play poker? How long you been playing? How'd you cut your teeth?
Well, I've always been interested in card games and everything, but I didn't really get into poker until when I was in college, right around the time that Moneymaker won and poker started appearing everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I really got into a lot of home games and started playing online. And that's when I feel like when I really got into specifically hold'em poker.
Were you the type of kid who sat around with his grandparents or his parents around the kitchen table and learned how to play the games initially that way? And
yeah, actually, I would play a lot of cards with older relatives. They tried to teach me pinochle, stuff like that.
You know, when my relatives come to the house and play, they would, when the end of the night, they would take the pennies and throw them on the floor and watch me crawl around like a rat, grabbing the money, trying to make a steak for myself. It was pretty hilarious.
I still have fun doing that.
You gotta start your bankroll somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, this happened when I was 30, but I looked a little foolish, but.
Were there any players in the Apes run this year that were just a thorn in your side that you just kept...
Theron was a thorn in my side. Every month, he'd remind me in chat, I'm coming for you, number one. And he was definitely close.
Well, Theron is Latin for thorn, so there you go. That's where the name came from.
He's living up to his name. And then LJ, he or she, don't know, but he got two first place. You got two bananas this year, so that did actually have me worried for a bit.
When it came down to it at the horse tournament, were you concerned or were you kind of nervous? Were you watching the progress of, say, St. Pete Beach, our good friend Mike Faso?
I was, but to be honest, as soon as the late registration ended, I plugged in the numbers, figured out that first place was worth 200 points, and saw that there were about five or six people that had to get first place to beat me. So that calmed me down a little bit, but you know, I was still definitely... You know, keeping an eye on everybody.
So Chris,
I think Faso actually outlasted everybody.
Of the guys who could catch you?
Yeah, so he made me a little nervous.
Well, this is what I love about Apes, is we have players actually plugging the figures into the formula during the tournament to figure out the odds of them holding on to their lead. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Because we can't even add.
Exactly. I mean, we still can't figure out how to do pot odds. How are we going to figure out do the square root of six, carry the total entrance? And I just don't figure it out. So I just rely on everyone else to tell me what's going on.
Well, we couldn't. Yeah, Gambit's the one you got to listen to.
Yeah. So you're gonna try to defend your title next year, right? Whenever we announce it, you're gonna stick around and try to be our back-to-back champion.
Absolutely. Wherever it goes, Poker Stars, Full Tilt, I'll be there.
Well, what if we have it like Scott's porch? Because that might be where we end up putting this thing.
Can I play remotely? Do the emotion through the computer screen?
You know, we're just tired of giving everybody a free ride on the Any Up Nation's shoulders. You know, we're looking for some coin this time around. So.
Oh man!
Yeah, you didn't do too bad.
So, Nick, how long have you been a member of the Any Up Nation too?
About 3 years now, actually. I got an iPod for Christmas in 2005, and yours was one of the first podcasts I started downloading.
So. All right, so we always like this part for ego, but what do you have a favorite moment during the show, something that happened that really made you laugh or made you say, well, I'm glad we're listening to this show?
I do enjoy all the Bard's poems when that comes up.
Those are cool.
Yeah.
And how about, since we've been on our own, is there something that you'd like to see different? Are we doing something wrong since we left the Times? Is there something that you...
Well, we know we're doing something wrong.
Well, yeah, we know that. But but is there something that you're like, God, you know, I wish they'd start doing this again, or I wish they'd bring this back, or something like that?
Honestly, no. I don't think so. You know, to be honest, I like the music in the beginning of the old show.
The old show?
Not to say that what's there now isn't good.
Well, you know, that's because I made that song.
He's an artist, clearly.
And then I told him to trash it when we moved on.
He told me to get rid of it. So maybe we'll bring it back someday, or at least do it with something, like some segment or something.
Maybe a new segment or something.
Yeah.
An old school. Yeah.
All right, well, Zerka Boyd, Nick Nickish, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations. It was really a great run. It was really exciting just seeing you just constantly, you know, hammer away in cash and run away with it. It's the first time we actually had someone run away with it, and we really appreciate you taking time to talk to us today.
Hey, thank you very much, and thanks to everybody. You know, without, you know, the hundreds of people who play in this, it wouldn't mean anything. So,
yeah.
Thanks a lot.
All right, man. Have a good holiday.
You too.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Nick. All right, Chris, and we should let our listeners know that we are hard at work on Apes 4.
Yes.
May take us a little longer this year. We're trying to be extremely creative with it this year.
Yes.
And but there are already a number of good suggestions being posted on the Apes Tournament Forum at antiupmagazine.com/forum. So if you have any ideas or suggestions for us, by all means, log in there and let us know.
You know, and we may end up, like I said, playing on your front porch. You know, I mean, we
need to get a bigger front porch.
We want to make sure that we're getting the best deal for our nation and for our situation. And, you know, no more freeloaders.
Yeah, that's right.
So stay tuned, and we promise to expedite any news to you as soon as we can.
Did you miss a link on your favorite poker podcast or want a preview of the upcoming Annie Up Magazine? Go to AnnieUpMagazine.com and subscribe to Annie Up's e-newsletter for free. Just click on the subscribe button, and while you're there, subscribe to Annie Up Magazine. Just $25 gets you 12 issues of your favorite poker magazine delivered straight to your door. Subscribe today and win tomorrow.
It's not just a dealer button. It's more than a tournament timer. It's Pro Dealer Button, and it's a synchronized poker game management system. The buttons talk to each other, so every table in your home game is on the same page at all times. Pre-order yours today at ProDealerButtons.com. Use the code ANNIEUP05 and save 5% on your order.
Today's Hand of the Week, as always, is brought to you by the great folks at GreatPokerHands.com and their perfect Texas Hold'em strategy cards. Correct the single biggest mistake made by Texas Hold'em players. Order today at GreatPokerHands.com. Use the code ANTI for 20% off your order. And also be sure to email your Hand of the Week to us here at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com. And real quick, Chris, before we move on to the next, today's Hand of the Week, we have a little update from last week's Hand of the Week. You know, we couldn't figure out whether Chris was a man or a woman.
Oh, yeah.
and he wrote in. It turns out he's a man, 36 years old. So all you ladies out there. Actually, yeah. He's married. And that's part of the funny story is that his name is actually Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-A-N.
A-N, yeah.
So that doesn't help.
No, that doesn't help
in
at
fact,
all.
He says that when his wife calls, something with his credit card or insurance, he often gets the question, is Kristen your partner?
Yeah, that's understandable. I can see. So I don't feel bad saying man or a woman last week because clearly, you know, it's something that he goes through all the time.
Exactly. All right, so this week, there is no SNL Pat Dronimus. Is that the right word?
It's time for androgyny. It's just Chris.
We know this week's Hand of the Week it comes from a male. It is from Mike Miners, our good friend out in the Bay Area.
Not the one from
the
SNL.
Other Bay Area.
Not the real SNL.
Exactly. And he's the author of some of the great bard poems.
Yes, that is true.
Exactly.
That is true.
Which are Player of the Year.
Yeah, obviously they're favorites of the Annie Up Nation.
All right, so this is a live game at the Oaks Card Room out in Oakland, California.
Oh, I see ads for them all the time.
Yeah, yep. It's a very good room. And nice then room. One of their old employees runs a room here in Florida now, a very nice room, but Ebro Greyhound Park, where Hoyt Corkins was.
Yep.
He came from the Oaks.
Yep.
All right, so he says the structure is a little odd, this game, and I will have to confer. It's not as odd as Australia, but it's a max buy-in, $200, and the max bet is $200. The California thing called spread limit.
Okay.
So it's a pretty big spread.
That's a huge spread.
In the limit. All right, so max buy-in, $200. Max bet is $200. Blinds are $1, $2, and there's another dollar on the button.
Oh, all right. Wow.
Oh, all right.
Interesting, interesting ways of doing things. Hey, you know, California is like the home of poker, so... You know, it's the American home of poker, the mecca.
It gets better. The bring-in is always a $4 minimum. So even if it's the big blind has to put in an extra $2 to continue with the hand if he or she so chooses.
God, that is weird.
There must be some kind of weird poker laws.
This is weird.
Yeah. So I don't even know how to play this game, but we'll try our best here. But he says he has 160 in his stack, and up until now, there have been a lot of hands where there's been a lot of limping for the $4.
Okay.
All right?
Yep. So not a lot of aggression.
Exactly. So on this hand, he is on the button, and there have been four limpers already, and obviously the small blind and big blind are left to act. So he looks down at three of spades, five of spades.
Okay. I like that hand.
All right. Our great poker hands disagrees. They say it's an inferior hand.
It clearly is, but it's the kind of hand that you could take $200 off of somebody. So I like it. I like that kind of hand, especially if I can see for cheap. I'm in favor of, and even I'm even in favor of raising here since no one's raising anyway. it'll totally disguise the strength of your hand. Since everyone's been tight, they're going to think that you're playing big cards and you're playing little ones, and you'll totally shock them when you turn over 3-5 spades and make them wheel or something. So I like it.
All right, and he's also he decides he wants to play off his image, which has been rather tight since he's been sitting here. So he raises to 25.
Well, that's a lot. I guess that's okay. I mean, 5-2. It's fine. So you're looking at $7 in a pot. Three times that is three times the pot, though. Instead of, I was going to say 15, maybe 12, but wow, 25. That's a lot.
Big bet.
That's a pretty big
bet.
But
you got four limpers already, and you got two more left to act. So.
Yeah, four limpers. I forgot about the four limpers, and that's at $4.
I guess,
right?
It depends on how you want to proceed with this hand, whether you want a lot of players in.
I was actually forgetting that four limpers came in with $4, so that's 16. So I don't mind that at all. That's a good bet now, actually. I want to check that. So that's $25. I agree with that.
Okay. Well, you answered about 14 of his questions right after that with that very, very sterling analysis.
Sorry.
All right. So he says the small blind has been pretty much a calling station, and whose stack has been roller coasting like mad. Instantly calls.
Wow.
Our hero has him covered. Everyone else folds except a guy two seats behind our hero who had limp and calls as well.
Wow.
And he has our good friend Mike covered by a lot.
Insta call, though. That's in the small blind.
With $25. Yeah, that's a big. $24 because it's a dollar small blind.
Yeah, exactly. So for a, for a pretty tight table, that's a pretty loose play. Okay. Well, that's cool. So there's like $80 in the pot, man.
All right. Yeah, $89. And of course, a rake has to come out of it, too.
Right, right.
So flop is a deuce 4-10 rainbow. The Sweet. 10 is a spade, though.
Sweet. Got some backdoor. I want to be your backdoor man. Backdoor things here. Plus, we're open-ended.
Oh, that's been a popular thing today.
Yeah. It's open-ended, so you got to love that. No one is putting you on 3-5 spades here.
Okay. Now, here's an interesting thing. He says before any action gets to him, he's already decided that he plans to bet about $60 if it's limp to him. Now, do you...
Check to him, yeah. Check to him, yeah. I agree with that. Absolutely.
No, but here's my question. I mean, obviously you need to have a strategy on how the hands are going to play out, but sometimes I think I would rather have the action unfold before I decide on my strategy too, right?
Well, I think a lot of advanced players know how they're going to play a hand before they play it, and I think that they know that if it gets checked to them by the type of players he's been playing with all this time, that he thinks a good continuation bet showing strength because he showed strength before the flop will probably pay off for him here. And if he's wrong, he's got tons and tons and tons of outs. And even then on the turn, he got tons and tons of cards that he can represent because he showed strength. So even high cards come.
All right.
I like the idea of thinking ahead like that and saying, no matter what happens, I'm betting out here because these guys are tight if they check to me. So I don't have a problem with that at all. That's a good game plan and makes it more believable that you really think you have a great hand here. So
okay. Well, here's the rub. The game plan is shot in the water already because the small blind goes all in for his last $70.
Yeah, well.
And then the next guy calls.
Yeah, I'm calling. I'm not shoving, but I'm calling because I was going to bet 60 anyway. Plus 10 more, and now I got the odds to do it. Plus, I got another guy on the hook next to me. If I make my straight, I'm going to get all of his money, probably. Because what's he calling with?
And even better, what if an ace comes?
Oh, sweet.
That'd be the beautiful.
That'd be sweet.
Best card, wouldn't
Some
it?
Idiot's probably playing the Cosenza ace 10.
Exactly.
And you've got his whole roll. So, yeah, I think I would call. I don't think I would raise because I'm raising with nothing.
Yeah.
And if the guy calls, then I have to hit my hand. And I got this dry side pot that I've created with him. And I can't win unless I make my hand.
And there's
hand,
lots of cards that could come on the turn that you can play. I mean, ones that complete your hand, the ones that you can help represent, so there's no reason to get
right. And, and it also gives you a chance to get away from the hand on the turn if he bets out into you, because since he's acting before you, if like a king comes and he shoves, you're not going to call with one card to come. So it gives you a chance to get out. And if a spade comes, then, you might be able to take the aggressive stance against. So I like the call.
Okay. Well, he does call. And he has $65 behind now.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hard to fold.
Yeah, pot's up to $300 now, so now you're 5-1 on your money.
Yeah, hard to fold now.
And, wow. All right, so the turn is another 4, but is it of spades?
All right.
So the board is paired, but now we have a flush draw. Whether that's good or not, we don't know. But I got to think that the extra 4 in this situation is probably pretty good.
I think so. It doesn't feel like any of these guys have a boat here, had a set and now turned a boat. I don't think that's what it doesn't feel like that. I could be wrong. This guy who smooth called earlier, and I say smooth call thinking that he may have a good hand. That could be the case, but I don't think it is. I feel like this guy, I don't think it is. I think that he would probably want to get Mike out of the hand to go heads up with this other guy who's all in and nice secure a nice pot instead of giving him a chance to catch up. So I don't mind the four, and I like the spade. So I think that we're definitely behind, but we have a lot of outs. So and you only have 65 bucks left anyway. How are you going to fold?
Definitely behind with our five high.
So. Yeah, I know. You know what I mean.
Very good analysis.
Well, this guy doesn't have, you know.
All right, so our opponent puts us all in for our last 65 bucks.
Yeah, I don't think I can fold now because there's so much money. Now you're getting 6-7-1 on your money.
Yeah, now that I got my spade draw too, which may or may not be good. I mean, let's not get too excited.
Right.
But I would think it might be, and then you got the straight draw.
Straight draw. Yeah.
I mean, we kind of lose the we can't.
And you know what else, Scott? You never know. I mean, the guy could just have ace king, you know, and you don't know. I mean, you just never know. And if that's true, then even your three and your five is a winner for you. So I can't fold here. I just can't. Okay. All that money out there. So much money. What am I going to do with $65? And I'm going to have to rebuy now anyway.
That's a pretty good stake at Ruth's Chris.
Yeah, it's a good stake at Ruth's
Chris.
Could
be a side of asparagus,
too. Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, I'm calling. I totally agree with how Mike's played it up to this point, I think. So.
Okay, well, good. Well, you're going to agree with Mike now because he decides to call off his stack. He says the river is a depressing red three.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hopefully the guy's ace king.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
So small blind, remember he was all in before all this.
Right,
any
right.
Prediction on what he was playing? Remember he was all in.
He's the guy who snap called right away,
yeah,
too.
And it was a deuce 4-10 rainbow flop.
Geez, I really don't know. God. Like pocket nines, maybe? No? I'm guessing. What the hell do you want from me?
Wait, are you, like, Amazing Kreskin here?
Dude, are you serious?
Yes.
Because I did not see this
hand.
I
know you did. I actually know you have not seen this hand, so.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
That's insane.
Wow. I mean, not Daniel Negreanu insane.
No,
but that's pretty good.
I mean, I don't see these hands. I really don't.
I mean, it makes sense, too. I mean, here's a guy who had a pair and thought that, you know, he's getting short stacked.
Yeah.
I probably would have raised pre-flop, maybe, if I was going to.
Yeah.
Come to my chips.
Right. But
then a flop comes that's a rainbow and one over card. And,
yeah. And he's short stacked anyway.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't believe he had nines. You're staring at me like, I'm a total idiot and how could I guess nines or whatever? Wow. I can't believe that. All right. That's cool. So he had nines. I'm obviously lost to this guy. We've lost the majority of the pot now.
Exactly. Now the side pot, though, is still active.
Yeah. I really have no idea what that guy has. Could he have like king, queen, or something like that over cards, and we won the hand?
I really don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think
either.
We're losing. I just don't know what we lost to.
Yeah. I mean, he may have something like eights or something, too, so who knows?
Would you believe pocket fours?
Whoa. This guy made quads?
Turned quads.
I really wasn't sure.
Never in my life.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't sure about that smooth call. You know, I was a little cautious. That's why I said smooth call, but I really didn't think that somebody had a set there. But it makes sense when you say that he just called knowing that you're behind him and you were the aggressor.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it does make sense that he had a set and then obviously turned quads. Wow. So he wins the whole thing anyway. So what's,
well, you know, I wonder, I mean, he put you all in on the river. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I mean, you got a bet there, right?
So yeah, on the turn, you put him on all in. Because you had one card to come and it was a red three or whatever. So he
put
him all
true,
in on the
yeah.
turn.
So yeah, I'm wondering if he would have.
Well, he knows he can't get him. He knows that Mike can't fold there.
Yeah.
So that's why he did it. Because it would look suspicious to bet out or not bet out now after you've called a $70 bet and the board really didn't change. So
yeah, interesting.
But did he wonder, like, did he play it wrong? Is that why he sent it in?
Yeah, he was wondering whether he let the pot get too big and whether he should have even been in the hand. And, you know, you've got to take a chance every once in a while.
Of course. I like it. If you don't play those kind of cards once in a while and play them aggressively, then you're just going to be an ABC player, and everyone's going to be able to put you on a hand. No one's going to give you any respect. So, no, I thought he played it fine up until, until he lost the damn hand.
And he also wants us to examine the pot odds on this one.
Yeah, I'm not doing
that's
it.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, that's not happening. I don't even know what pot odds are anymore. Well, I want to thank our guest, Nick Nikish, the Zirka Boyd, our player of the year, for joining us today. And I want to thank everyone who finished below me in the Apes tournament. It was nice to finally. Finally get off the schneid and win some money, and I actually turned a profit for Apes this year because of it.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Very good.
So that was pretty cool.
Very good.
And I'm glad I knocked you out.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
So stay tuned. Next year we're gonna bring it back, and we're just gonna have some tweaking to it, and we'll make an announcement as soon as we can. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We will see you at the tables. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa.
contact us at podcast@anyupmagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@anyupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.